The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We will now discuss the laws of Trumos and Maisros, which can be found at the back of many editions of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It must be noted that this section was not written by Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Rather, it was supplemented to the Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch hundreds of years later, when thousands of Jews merited to come to live in Eretz Yisrael and to grow produce in Eretz Yisrael, and it became obvious that there was a need to detail the laws of Trumos and Maisros as it applies to the produce of the land of Israel. Now, one thing we have to say on the onset is that the laws of Trumos and Maisros apply to produce that was grown in the land of Israel, regardless where it is being eaten. Which means that if you would have a Jaffa orange in the United States, that orange would require the separation of Trumos and Maisros. On the other hand, if you have food that was grown in Europe and it was imported into Eretz Israel, that produce does not require the separation of Trumos and Maisros. Now, along with this, we have to point out that the borders of Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to the halachas of Trumos and Maisros, do not match the borders of today's state of Israel. And therefore, there are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, most notably the southern regions, which although they are part of the state of Israel and there are only Jews living there, nevertheless, the produce does not require Hafrasha, does not require separation of Trumos and Maisros. There's no question that even Jews who live in Chutz Laretz must be aware of the laws of Trumos and Maisros, for many reasons. First and foremost, it is Torah, and as Torah, it is the obligation of every Jewish male to study it and to know it. But secondly, we pointed out that produce that was grown in Eretz Yisrael, when it's in Chutz Laretz, so Jews who live there have to know how to deal with it. And finally, everyone comes to visit Eretz Yisrael at some point. And when you do come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to know under what circumstance do you have to separate Trumos and Maisros and how to go about it. And of course, Be'ezer Hashem, at some point, all Jews are going to come back to live in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly then everyone would have to know how to deal with the halachas of Trumos and Maisros. The first time that someone hears about the halachas, they sound very technical, somewhat overwhelming, but the fact is, once you learn how to deal with the halachas, it's simple, it's not at all difficult to apply. The beauty of the mitzvos of separating Trumos and Maisros is that these are mitzvahs that really unify the nation. By requiring the Jewish nation to support Shevet Levi, who is totally devoted to the service of Hashem, it becomes part of our mitzvah also that they are involved in the Beis HaMikdash. And by a requirement for us to give Maisa Sheni, which we have to come up to eat it in Yerushalayim, That makes Jerusalem to be the home of every Jew. And of course, by making sure that we separate Maaser Ani by giving the tithe to the poor people, that ensures that the Jewish nation is one and that we are concerned and we care for all of those who are lacking the prosperity that we have. All in all, Trumas and Maaseros are a very beautiful mitzvah, a very meaningful mitzvah, and now we just have to get some definitions in order that we can understand what is involved in the separation of Trumas and Maaseros. So we are beginning with Simon Aleph, which is entitled HaTevel V'Tikuno. Tevel, which is going to be defined in a moment, and how to fix it up. So in the first halakha, we are going to define what is Tevel. He says, Kol Maicho Adam Shegidulo Min Haaretz. Any food that is meant for people, which has grown from the ground, Harehu Tevel, Ad sheyifreshu mimenu tshumas and maaseros, it is classified as tevel until tshumas and maaseros are separated from it. So tevel is basically untithed foods. Now notice the emphasis here. It's specifically foods that are meant for people, which means that if you're growing something which is oriented exclusively for animals, that's not referred to as tevel. Furthermore, if you have a food which does not grow from the ground, then there's no requirement of Trumas and Maaseros. So fish and meat and eggs, all of these types of things, there's no halacha of Trumas and Maaseros. Trumas and Maaseros are only things that grow from the ground. And one last point is that even if something does grow from the ground, we are only talking about things which are food. So flowers are not considered tevel. Only food, which is meant for people, that grows from the ground. That's what can be considered tevel. Okay, so now in Halach Aleph we explained what tevel is. Now we have to know what is the halachic status of tevel. So that brings us to Halach Beis. Hatevel osar ba'achila vi'af behanar shokilui. Tevel is forbidden to be eaten. It's forbidden to get any benefit from it which uses it up. Now, what does that mean? So, eating, we understand. What does it mean, get benefit which uses it up? So, he says, Kigon lahachil lebehema o lahadlik b'shemen. For example, to feed it to animals, or to light it as fuel. So, these are benefits from it that use it up. So these are things that are also to do with tevel. He further says, "Ein lemachro o lesita b'matana." It is prohibited to sell tevel or to give it as a present. Ufa'amim shehetiru. There are times that it is permitted. Ein b'shulchan aruch. See the shulchan aruch for more details. So the general rule is that any food that is classified as tevel, you can't really do very much with it until you separate Trumas and Maaseros. So now we have to discuss what are the various types of Trumas and Maaseros that will be separated from tevel. So we have Halacha Gimel. Elu hein ha-hafrashos. These are the various tithes, the various separations that come out of tevel. Sheyesh lasos b'tevel, that one has to do with tevel. Lefi haseder shal lahalon, according to the following sequence, kidei lahatiro, in order to permit it. Which means that we're going to list off what has to be done with tevel in order to make it usable to eat and to benefit from it and to sell. But it is necessary that the various separations must be done in the proper sequence. You can't do them out of order. So the first one is Teruma Gedola. Teruma Gedola means the great Teruma. The reason why it's called the big Teruma, the great Teruma, is because we want to distinguish it from another type of Teruma, which is called Terumos Meiser. In general, this is often just referred to as Teruma. So, Teruma Gedola, or simply Teruma, is a requirement of separating a portion from any of the produce of Eretz Yisrael and to give it to a Kohen. Now, what we have to understand about this is a few things. First of all, min haTorah, according to the Torah's requirement, any amount can be separated from the produce, and that would be classified as teruma. The Torah does not have any minimum or any maximum. Whatever a person chooses to separate, that would be referred to as teruma, and it's supposed to be given to a Kohen. Now, the Rabbanan did give a minimum requirement. In fact, they gave three requirements of how much has to be separated for teruma. But min haTorah, there's no amount. Now, what's interesting is that although the teruma must be given to a Kohen and then can be eaten by a Kohen and his family, or can be consumed even by the animals of a Kohen, anyone who's not a Kohen would not be allowed to consume the teruma. Which means that if someone gives teruma to a Kohen and he decides to invite his friends over for a meal, the teruma portions may be eaten by him and his family and other Kohanim and their families, but they may not be given to a Levi or to Yisrael to eat. Now, the teruma portion that is separated has kedusha to it. So therefore, it can only be eaten by a Kohen who is in a state of tahara, in a state of ritual purity. Someone who is tamei meis, someone who has become impure by becoming in contact with the dead, even though he's a Kohen, would not be allowed to eat from the teruma. Today, society is not careful to not come in contact with the deceased, and therefore we have a chazaka, we have a halachic assumption that everyone, both the Kohanim and the non-Kohanim, would be considered Tomei. And consequently, the Teruma is not allowed to be eaten, not by a Kohen, and not by anyone. So this is an interesting idea. On one hand, we have to separate Teruma from the food. But there's no point in giving it to a Kohen, because the Kohen can't eat it anyhow. So therefore, what has to be done with the separated teruma, either by the person who separated or by anyone else, is that we have to dispose of it in a respectable fashion, which means that we can't do anything to denigrate it, but on the other hand, we can't leave it in a place where people might eat it. Since that is the case, the poskim say that the dinim derabbanan, of the minimum requirements of Teruma do not apply today. So practically speaking, today, when one separates Teruma from their produce, the amount that they separate is minimal. It can be any tiny amount, and that will suffice, because the Teruma will be disposed of and will not actually be consumed by a Kohen. So it is recommended that a small amount is used for separation so that the rest of the food will not be wasted. And this is what it says in our text, Teruma Gedola, the separation of the big Teruma, Shiura Bizman Hazeh Mashahu, the designated amount prevalently is Mashu. It's any amount. It's the smallest possible amount that will suffice. Now, it must be pointed out that when we talk about the smallest amount, it has to be of an edible part of the produce. Don't think that someone can separate a part of it that's inedible and say, this would be my teruma. But it has to be an edible part of the produce, even if a person himself might not be so inclined to eat it. So, for example, in the time that a person would be giving his teruma to a Kohen, it would be wrong to try to find the worst part of the produce and give that to a Kohen. But today, when it's going to be disposed of anyhow, a person could find, let's say, a part of their fruits and vegetables that is edible, but does not look so appetizing, and say, okay, if I'm going to have to separate something for teruma anyhow, which will be disposed of, it is acceptable to separate from that, as long as it is edible. So teruma gedola today is a very easy process, because the separation is a minuscule amount, and then it has to be respectfully disposed of. So that brings us to the next type of separation, which he refers to as maaser rishon, the first maaser. So the first maaser is a separation of 10%. The word maaser means a tenth. 10% of his produce, again, that grew in Eretz Yisrael, has to be given to a Levi. Now, unlike teruma, maaser rishon does not have kedusha. It does not have sanctity to it. And therefore, if the Levi wants to share it with a Yisrael or a Kohen, there's no problem with him doing so. The Levi does not have to treat it with respect as if it has sanctity to it. Maaser rishon can really be eaten by anyone. The only thing is, it's the property of the Levi, and therefore the Levi can decide what he wants to do with it. So that's what he says here, asiris, it's 10%, mehan nishar, from whatever is left over, which means that after a person separates teruma, the next step is to separate maaser rishon, and maaser rishon would be 10% of whatever is left, excluding the teruma that was already separated. Now, how this is done practically today, especially with food that is bought in the common market, we will wait till we get to the end of these laws, and then we will discuss the practical applications. First, we are just getting the principles of the various trumos and maisros. So that brings us to the next category, where he says, maisa sheni, and he writes in parentheses, bashanim aleph beis dalet hay, we will explain that in a moment, and maisa ani, bashanim gimel vav. So these are two types of maisros, which have to be separated after maaser rishon. But these two types of tithes, even though they consist of the same amount, which is 10%, 10% of the net of whatever is remaining after teruma and maaser rishon were separated, still, these two maaseros are never done at the same, from the same produce. Which means that there's some produce that would require Maisa Sheni to be separated from it, and some produce that would require Maisa Ani to be separated from it. But there's no produce that requires both Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani. So first, let's describe what is Maisa Sheni and what is Maisa Ani. Maisa Sheni means the second type, and the halacha is that 10% of whatever is remaining has to be separated, and this separation has kedusha to it, has sanctity to it, and therefore it must be eaten by someone who is tahar, who is pure, ritually pure. But unlike teruma, and unlike maaser rishon, it is not limited to the kohen or to the levi. Anyone is allowed to eat it. It doesn't have to be given to anyone necessarily. The person who separated it can eat it himself. However, it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. This is a very interesting idea, because 10% of a person's produce, in a time when Jewish society was basically an agricultural society, and most people had much of their income come from their farming. So 10% of someone's produce is a lot of produce. And the halacha is that it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So usually what people would do is, instead of making a special trip to come up to Yerushalayim for this purpose, they would bring their produce with them when they would come to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel by the Yom Tovim. But nevertheless, the amount of produce that they would be bringing would often be too much for them to consume during their stay in Yerushalayim. So what they would generally do is leave the remaining produce for others to eat there. Yerushalayim was a place that had many Kahanim and Levim, and also a place that had many people studying Torah. And they had the benefit of eating large amounts of Maisa Sheni that people would bring up to Yerushalayim, which of course had to be eaten in a state of Tahara, a state of purity. Which means that both the food itself could not become Tameh. It also means that whoever is eating the food may not be Tameh. Now, as we pointed out before when discussing Teruma, today we assume people to be Tameh, and therefore today no one would be allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. We will soon discuss what practically should be done with Maisa Sheni, but certainly to eat it in its Kedusha state, today no one is eligible to do that. Nevertheless, Maisa Sheni still would have to be separated, that's for sure. It has to be separated from all those foods that require it. Now, the Torah recognizes that for people who have a large amount of produce, who don't live in Yerushalayim and want to bring their produce to Yerushalayim, especially if they live far away, it would be difficult for them to transport a large amount of fruits and vegetables, and therefore the Torah allowed an individual to redeem his produce onto money, meaning that he's taking off the kedusha from the produce and thereby putting it onto money. Then the money he may take with him to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food exclusively, food which is tahar, and then that food has the kedusha that the original produce that he had before. Meaning that the food has to be treated with sanctity, and it can only be eaten by someone who is tahar in Yerushalayim. Today, as we pointed out, we do not eat Maisa Sheni. However, this concept of redeeming it onto money will serve to be very practical for our separation of Maisa Sheni today, as we will later explain. Now, the alternate to Maisa Sheni, as we mentioned before, is called Maisa Ani. Maisa Ani is a tithe that is given to aniyim, it's given to paupers. Now, unlike teruma, and unlike maisa sheni, maisa ani does not have kedusha to it. So a person would have to give 10% of his produce to the poor people, means poor Jews, of course. But afterwards, if the poor person wants to share it with someone else, even if they're not poor, there's no problem doing so. Now we should mention that both Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani, as well as Maisa Rishon, we said that each of them is 10% of the net produce. When we talk about the percentages, we mean in terms of the volume of the produce, not in terms of the weight. So it's not that we're going to weigh it and measure 10%, but rather you look at the volume, and from that you calculate 10% as a minimum. Okay, so now we just need to discuss when is Maisa Sheni given, and when is Maisa Ani given. We pointed out that some produce requires Maisa Sheni, and others require Maisa Ani. So this is what he said in parentheses. He said, Maisa Sheni Bashanim Aleph Beis Dalet Hei. In the years 1, 2, 4, and 5. What this means is as follows. In most of the agricultural halakhas, there's a 7-year cycle. Now this is a set cycle. It's not that it depends on when the food was planted or harvested. There's a standard 7-year cycle where the 7th year is considered Shemitah, where the land has to rest, and during that year, any fruits that grew, there'd be no halachas of separating trumas and maisers from them. But there would be a requirement of separating trumas and maisers in years 1 through 6. So for example, before we spoke about truma and maisa rishon, truma and maisa rishon both have to be separated from any produce that grew in years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but not in produce that grew in year 7. However, maisa sheni, the second tithe, must only be separated from produce that grew in year 1, 2, and 4, and 5. Not in year 7, just like Truma and Maisa Rishon, but also not in year 3 and not in year 6 of the 7-year cycle. And the reason for that is because in year 3 and 6, those are the years that produce that grew at that time, we would have to separate Maisa Ani from it. So that's what he says in parentheses. O Maisa Ani, Bishanim Gimo Vav. So let's just review this. In the first year, based on what we discussed so far, what needs to be separated? Truma, Maisa Rishon, and Maisa Sheni. In the second year, the same thing. In the third year, what needs to be separated is Truma, Maisa Rishon, and Maisa Ani. In the fourth and fifth year, it's like the first and second year. And in the sixth year, it's like the third year, which means again, Truma, Maisa Rishon, and Maisa Ani. And then in the seventh year, nothing at all needs to be separated. But we must point out that when we talk about these years, it doesn't mean in what year the food is being eaten, but rather in what year it grew. So if you have produce from the third year that is being eaten in the fourth year, so the halachas of the third year apply to it, which means that it's a Maisa Ani year, and 10% of the net amount would have to be given to poor people. So now the halacha proceeds and says, Truma Gedola Asura Ba'achila. This is what we discussed. Today, Truma is forbidden to be eaten. Maisa Rishon Mutter Ba'achila Acha Shehafrishu Mimeno Asiris. Maisa Rishon, we said, is permitted to be eaten after you separate the tenth from it. Trumas Maiser, Dino Ketruma Gedola. So we haven't discussed Trumas Maiser yet. Trumas Maiser is basically works like this. we mentioned that Maisa has to be given to a Levi from any produce that is grown by Yisrael. Now, the Levi, from the 10% that he receives, he has to give a portion of it to a Kohen, and that's called either Maisa Min HaMaisa or Trumas Maisa, which means like this: 10% of what the Levi receives. Remember, the Levi receives 10% from the Yisrael, pretty much. So 10% of that, which is basically 1%, a little bit less than 1% of the original produce, would have to be given to a Kohen. Now, this is known as it's a form of teruma, which means it's going to have kedusha to it, and it has the same halachas as the teruma gedola, which means it has to be treated with kedusha. It can only be eaten by a Kohen who's tahar. Until the Trumas Maiser is separated from the Maiser Rishon, no one is allowed to eat the Maiser Rishon. So when we talk about Maiser Rishon being permitted to eat, that's only after a 10% from that was separated. Again, which means a little bit less than 1% of the original amount of Tebel. Then he says, Maiser Sheni Tolin Pinyon. The second tithe requires redemption, as we pointed out, that it's going to be redeemed onto money. And then you can eat the Maiser, the original produce that was Maiser Sheni, because it doesn't have Kedusha anymore. Ofen Venusa Chafrosha Shebesimen Vav Kolo Esko Afroshos. The method and the text of the separation, which will be discussed later on in Simen Vav, will include all of the separations within it. Okay, Simen Beis, Medine HaFrasha, the halachas of the separation itself. Aleph, Ein Mafrishin Miperas HaPturim Al Chayavim, V'lo Me'achayavim Al HaPturim. You can't separate for the Trumas and Maisras from fruits that are exempt onto fruits that are required, or from fruits that are required onto fruits that are exempt. V'chein lo yafrish me mimusupakim al misupakim. You also can't separate from fruits which are doubtful on other fruits that there's a doubt whether they require separation. Shema zechayiv is aparta, because maybe if they're not in the same category of doubt, maybe some are really required and some are exempt, and that would not be a legitimate separation. Those fruits that were grown in the land of a non-Jew, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, of course, and they were gathered and piled up through the Goyim, Pitur mitrumas and maisras, they are exempt from all trumas and maisras. Ve'enam tevo, they do not have the status of being tevo, which means that if he sells them to a Jew, the Jew is allowed to eat them. Ubi'inyin p'tura pera shayu hefker, regarding the exemption of fruits which were ownerless, robo apratim, there's a lot of detail, v'yesh lisha l'chacham, and one should consult a Talmud Chacham about how to proceed with that. Beis, ein mafrishin mi pera shechiyuvim chomer al pera shechiyuvim kal yoser. One may not separate from fruits that have a strict obligation onto fruits that have a more lenient requirement, or vice versa. Ezel hachiv achamer b'yosa. What is the strictest obligation of trumas and maisras? Perah shegodlu besodeh shebegvulos ole bovel. These are fruits that grew in a field which were in the borders of the Jews that came up from Babylonia. V'hoyu behem meruach Yisrael, and they were harvested and piled up by a Jew. Ve'enum lekuchim, and there was no lien put on those fruits. Kol shechasubo echa mitnayim elo, any produce that is lacking any of these stipulations, chiyuva kal yoser, so the obligation to separate trumas and maisras from it is more lenient. V'af hakalim ein dargas chiyuvim shava, and even those that are more lenient, so there's different degrees of how strict are the halachas in terms of their hafrasha? V'arotze la'aser mikalem misiba zu alkalem misiba acheres yishol chacham. So therefore, someone who wants to tithe his fruits from one group of the lenient categories onto another group, he would have to consult a Talmud Chacham. Halacha Gimel, Ein Mafrishin Mimin Echad Al Min Acher, one may not separate from one type of produce onto another. So for example, let's say someone has a salad which has tomatoes and cucumbers and lettuce, and it's Tevel. So you would have to separate tomatoes from tomatoes, lettuce from lettuce, and cucumbers from cucumbers. You can't say, I'm just, you know, take out a tomato and that would go on the entire salad. Halacha Dalad. Ein mafrishin mi perashana zu a perashana acheres. One may not separate from the fruits of one year onto the fruits of another year. So for example, if you have some fruits that grew in the first year of the Shemitah cycle and some in the second, you cannot say, okay, I'm just going to separate from the fruits of the second year, and that will include all of my requirements for the Hafrasha. Hagdaras Hashanim Rei B'Simen Dalet. See, Simen Dalet, where we will discuss what are the parameters of how to determine what grew in which year. Halacha Hey. Also Adam Shliach Lahafis Trumas Maisris. A person is allowed to make an agent on his behalf to separate the Trumas and Maisris. V'hashliach mivarech. In this case, the shliach is the one who's required to make the bracha. Halacha Vav. Af kishelo nasan reshus b'mifarosh. Even when explicit permission was not granted, yecholim b'nei beser lahafresh amashahim ochlim. The members of a household would be allowed to separate trumas and maisers from whatever they're eating. Shahari ochlim b'reshus, because they are eating with the permission of the Baal HaBayis. V'ishto, and his wife, yecholo lahafresh af al isasa shalosha. She's even allowed to separate, she has permission to separate on the dough that she's kneading, ukiderasa, and her patch and mivashelas that she's cooking, even though she does not necessarily have explicit permission from her husband. Halacha Zayin. Katon eino mafresh. A child is not allowed to do the hafrasha. Ben Yud Bei Shana Ubas Yud Alef Shana. If you have a boy who is 12 years old and a girl who is 11 years old, Shehefrisho, where they did do the separation, Machlokes Aposkim, so there's a dispute among the authorities whether or not it is valid. But one thing's for sure, certainly a boy who's under age 12 and a girl who's under age 11, if they did do any separation, it is not valid. Halacha Ches. Asur lahafrish trumos umaisris b'shabbos ubiyomtiv. It is forbidden to separate trumos umaisris on Shabbos and Yomtiv because it looks like you are fixing up the food. This is an isur dirabbanan. Ulam, however, yachol lahafrosh, a person does have a method of doing separation. Im yisna alkach me'erev Shabbos o me'erev Yomtiv b'loshin osid. If someone stipulated from Friday or from before Yom Tov using a future language in his stipulation, but Nusach Zeh using the following text, and this is the text that he would have to say before Shabbos or Yom Tov, he would say Yoser mi echad mimeya mimashani osed lahafresh. Say more than 1% that I in the future will separate. And this text, let me just point out, is very similar to the text that one normally would say at separation. We are going to describe it when we go through the details of the text. Right now we're just clarifying what is supposed to be said in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov when one would want to separate or one may want to separate on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So again, Yosem me'echa me'meya me'mashani osed lahafresh, more than 1% that is here that I in the future will separate. Yeah, truma gedola bitzat sofon, that would be considered the main truma based on that which is on the northern side of the produce. For also echa mimeya hanisha va'otisha chalakim kamo'o, and that separated 1% that remains, which means he separates a little bit more than 1%. So he says more, whatever is in excess of 1%, that would be truma, because remember, truma doesn't have a minimal amount today. Whatever is the remaining 1%, as well as va'ol tisha chalakim kamohu, and another 9 portions like it, bitzat safon shaharperos, which is in the northern side of the fruits, yiyu ma'aser rishon, so that would be classified as ma'aser rishon. Again, we will describe this in much greater detail when we get up to it. I understand that it's a little hard to understand this at this point, but this is really discussing what happens when he separates it on Erev Shabbos. Also, echad mimeir, so that 1% itself, shasisi ma'aser b'mefarash, yiyah chumas ma'aser, so that 1% that I made ma'aser will now be chumas ma'aser, meaning, remember we said that from ma'aser a portion has to be given to a kohen, which is known as chumas ma'aser. U'ma'aser sheni b'dromim shaar peres, and the ma'aser sheni on the southern side of the fruits, v'yemechulo hu v'chumshay apruta b'matbeya, so that would be, have its sanctity removed from it, meaning through redemption, it and another fifth, apruta b'matbeya, on a pruta of a coin, which means a value of a coin on which I am removing the sanctity. Sheyichadati lechilo ma'aser sheni, it's a coin that I designated for the purpose of removing the sanctity of ma'aser sheni. Im tzarach ma'aser ani, if this is produce that requires ma'aser ani, then he should say ma'aser ani bidroma, that the ma'aser ani, as opposed to ma'aser sheni, will be on the southern side of it. This is what a person is supposed to say in advance of Shabbos. Ube Shabbos. Now on Shabbos itself, Bishosha Mafresh, at the time that he is separating, Yomer as a Nusach Hafrosha Haragil, that he says the standard text of separating. Ein Hatnai Moel Ela Kishamasna Alperos of Shiloh. This stipulation of separating on Erev Shabbos only helps if it's for his own produce. Ulfamim, and on certain occasions, Moel af al peres chaveru, would help even if he would separate on his friend's fruits. V'yesh lisha l'chacham, one would have to consult a Talmud Chacham to determine under what circumstance he can make this stipulation before Shabbos and Yom Tov when the produce does not belong to him.